All right, welcome everybody back to Chairgating episode lucky number 13. In this episode, we're just going to be talking about week one, who was right, who was wrong. I was mostly right. And then we're going to talk about week two, and we're going to make our picks for that. And
oh, but don't forget, we also have our first interview
right
for the podcast.
Right, we have an interview. We actually got an interview with a real human being. So everybody be excited about that. We're pretty excited. Let's get into it. It was a straight shot, but all it took was luck to not get caught. I laid three dimes down in the machine on 25 cents. All right, Jay, you want to talk to these people about our week one picks?
Yeah, not the best effort, I'd say.
No.
There was a lot of stupid picks, but that's the point of week one. You have to get those out of the way at the beginning. And
F-State,
also, you don't know
maybe.
They're stupid until they happen.
Yeah, App State.
You always feel real smart when you're making these picks, and then you watch the games. But honestly, it seems like all the games that I got wrong, they're pretty close. And I guess that's just by nature of the way that I choose these games. They're going to be close regardless. But I'd say the worst pick of the week had to go to your App State upset call.
I'm willing to accept that, because when I made that pick, I said, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And, you know, so what? You know, Georgia did what they were supposed to do. But yeah, if I was right, it was worth the risk, in my opinion. I don't care. I'll take the loss on that one.
So that was, what, I think 31-0. Georgia just annihilated. They actually looked pretty good. I was not expecting 31-0.
Yeah, I know. Georgia actually did look better than I thought. Because, yeah. I mean, deep down, I kind of knew Georgia would win. I mean, like everybody did. But I was really hoping for, like, some amazing App State thing to happen. Apparently, it's just how shitty Tennessee is. They just don't know how to win in four quarters against any team in week one. We'll get into that later. But you weren't right on everything, though. I mean, yeah, I was embarrassed with my App State, but you had a few... you had to have a couple rough ones, right?
Yeah, there were a few. Just going down the list of ones I got it wrong was the Colorado State-Colorado game.
Told you.
I got that one wrong.
Told you.
I got the UNC game wrong, along with majority of people.
Yep.
Yeah, that picked, was me too. The NC State game wrong.
Yep.
It just seemed like there are a lot of close ones.
Florida. Me and you are kind of down the line for those. You picked Boise State. I picked Troy. I don't want to go into too much detail about this, but in the last episode, I was so gung-ho on Troy. I was so certain from everything I had read that Troy was the better team, and you were like, well, then why does Vegas favor Boise State? And I was like,
exactly.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. They're seeing something I'm not seeing. And clearly, they did see stuff I didn't see.
Yeah, Boise State just went out and did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Right. I mean, it wasn't a blowout, but they were clearly the better team, without a doubt.
Yeah, 11-point spread, and I think they might have even covered that.
Yeah. Also, future reference, we should probably start putting scores on here. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a feature that I could think about that probably not implement, but...
I'm going to have to go back and edit, aren't I?
Like, I'll just put that in the idea box.
God damn it. I'm going to have to go back and do this myself.
And maybe not even the good idea box. Like, it's a separate box.
Well, I'd love to hear the good idea box at some point, by the way.
It's empty.
All right, that was a quick segment we call Good Idea Box. Continuing down
also,
the list.
Before we go too far, I do want to mention that your upset pick happened to be on this board, but my upset pick, that's why I made it. I knew it wasn't going to make this list, so I didn't have to live it down.
To be fair, I did have one more upset pick that I've been talking about since the first episode. I'm
that's
not going
right,
to get into
yeah.
it yet. I'm going to wait. I'm saving that one, because that one's been boiling deep down inside me. But I've been saying this since episode one, and I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy, you sons of bitches.
You want to talk about the Cal-UNC game?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Also, it's just kind of the theme of this, maybe this little recap, is what a disappointing weekend the ACC had.
Shame. Yeah, no, seriously. Especially coming off a national championship, the ACC is looking fairly weak.
Yeah.
While the PAC is looking pretty good.
Yeah, the big ones were obviously Cal upsetting UNC, and then South Carolina barely coming out with the win over NC State.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think if NC State plays them 9 times out of 10, they still win 7 of those matchups.
But still, I mean, that's a mediocre SEC East team beating.
Yeah, no, a loss is a loss.
Yeah.
But, and then the I think the Florida State one is the big loss, because
two powerhouses going head-to-head.
They lost to the number one team, and that doesn't look too bad, but you lost your starting quarterback and maybe your best offensive player in the process, and now you've got a true freshman, maybe redshirt. No, I think he's a true freshman.
That's a pretty big risk when you play a team like this in week one, and maybe teams are going to start looking at this and being like, was it worth the risk? Because for Florida State, it clearly was not.
Potentially, but you can't always go into these big games worrying about if you're going to lose your best players. You just have to
schedule them. I feel like week one, there's a higher chance of somebody getting injured.
Yeah, maybe, but week one is also the chance to schedule some of these out-of-conference foes that you won't have an opportunity to in conference. Even though
Does Florida State need to play Alabama? Like, no.
No, but I think in this day and age, when you're trying to bid for that playoff spot, any kind of advantage you can get over another team.
That's true. But
probably worth it.
Yeah, but I mean, also the biggest loss for the ACC out of that is the fact that Florida State this year is presumably the ACC, front runner.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people are saying. I don't know. But
not to even mention Louisville just looking like garbage.
Yeah. But I mean, Alabama, the SEC front runner, obviously. They go head-to-head, and Alabama's clearly the better team. I mean, it was a close game, I guess, but every game with Alabama is going to stay a close game. So Alabama was clearly the better team. Like you said, Louisville did not look good with a Heisman quarterback. Yeah.
I think that's their only player.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of talent on that team. That was Purdue. That was you want to talk about a mediocre P5 school. I mean, Purdue. When's the last time Purdue was great?
Yeah, so like I said, that's definitely going to be a theme that we're going to be looking forward to for this next week is how the ACC can bounce back. Now, Clemson, although against Kent State, they look like the real deal.
Yeah, this is the problem with these games, though, is they do what they're supposed to do against a shitty team. So, of course, they look like the real deal, but so did TCU. So, I mean, they do what they're supposed to do, and that's about it.
Okay, well, so which do you want? Because you just got on Florida State about scheduling Alabama, and now you're getting on Clemson. So you just want them to schedule like a top 25 team, but not higher than top 20?
No, it doesn't even have to be top 25. How about just a G5 school? A team you should beat, but you have to actually like play a little bit so I can see what you're going to look like next week.
So I think that narrows it down to maybe 10 schools.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Every P5 school has to play a G5 school, and that's it. That's how it is now.
I could just log off and let you argue against yourself.
So like you said, though, Clemson did do what they were supposed to do, and
and I mean, if it's 1 week to schedule Kent State and look like a great team, it's this week, because out of the rest of the teams in your conference,
that's true.
I guess other than Virginia Tech, let's just talk about
that. I was going to mention that also. Virginia Tech looked good. They beat a team that is better than I have been thinking they would be, which is embarrassing because every West Virginia person on Twitter, like I said last episode, has been claiming how stupid I am. And that's saying a lot from somebody from West Virginia. They might be onto something. I guess they knew something I didn't. Blind faith?
I don't know. I rewatched that game, and I was definitely impressed. Even in a loss with West Virginia, I was definitely, I guess, a little low on them. Probably predicting a 5 or 6 win season, but
yeah, I'm not five,
convinced that they're going to be top 2, top 3, maybe even top 4 in the Big 12. But I definitely think they're right there on the same tier, maybe as Kansas State.
Yeah, so like a top 4 spot, like shooting for that top 4 spot with Kansas State.
Yeah, just behind the Oklahoma schools and TCU.
Yep,
and then, I guess at this point, probably firmly above Texas.
Yeah, no, firmly above Texas. Do you want to get into Texas? I'd love to talk about the state of Texas right now.
Yeah, and before we get into it, I think Texas is not much different than we've seen, where they can, and maybe even like with this mixture of this Tom Herman dynamic, where they will play up to their competition, but they're also going to play down to their competition. And
yeah, that's what it's so true. Through. I don't understand how that team works. They really do play at the level of their competition.
Like we'll preview this next week, but they've got USC scheduled. I would not be surprised at all if they got an upset against USC. It's just a really weird thing.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. While we're talking about Texas, though, I have to mention, since I've since I started this podcast, since Herman left Houston and everyone raved about Texas being back, like they said, like they've been saying for years, they said Herman's going to bring Texas back. I have been saying it will take at least a season, at least one season, for him to try to fix the hole that UT has been in for years. You don't come into a team. I know they have a lot of talent.
Are you saying that they weren't back last year after they beat Notre Dame?
Look, you don't come into a team that has had three straight years of a losing record, and not against always great opponents. I mean, you have Iowa State on there. You have Kansas State on there, or Kansas on there. You don't come to a team like that and in one game change that. I mean, that's it's not a good team. And I know there's clearly a lot of talent on that team, but I don't care. It's just not a good team, in my opinion. And I think Herman could fix the problems at Texas. And I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible here. This is polite snake talking here. I think Herman could eventually fix the problems there, but it's not immediate. And I think he did come into a really, really, really fortunate situation at Houston. Great team. I mean, they won a bowl the year before he came. They're a really good team, a lot of talent, good school in the heart of recruiting in the nation, in a conference that you can immediately win in. So Herman is a good coach. Is he like the best coach alive? No, I don't think so. Will he be able to fix Texas's problems? Probably. That's my spiel on the Longhorns right now. Eventually. It's not this year, so calm down, Longhorns fans. Also, don't start throwing shit on the field because you're losing. Like, get over yourselves.
What, I mean, do you expect anything else?
No. It's just, get over your fucking selves.
What's a program that never had to deal with losing?
Okay, well, this is your fourth season of it. So, every senior there right now has dealt with that since he was a freshman. So, stop. Just stop. Stop acting like you deserve better, because quite frankly, you don't right now. Quite frankly, you deserve 5 wins or 6 wins. That's what you deserve. You don't deserve right. any better. You've run your program into the ground.
I think you made your point.
All right. I warned you, though, this was going to come when they lost that week one, and you said okay. So,
well, I'd like to go back and actually figure out what your exact quote was, because I think it was, I wouldn't be surprised. So I have to go and...
I also made a $20 bet that they would lose to Maryland.
Okay, so...
I was clearly confident enough to put money down.
I don't think actions speak louder than words in this case.
I think they do. And my words have spoken. I think every fan of this podcast, anybody that's listened or followed this podcast at all, knows how I feel about the Longhorns and how they're going to be this season.
Okay, well, anyway. West Virginia was the only Big 12 school on our pick in that week, but the rest of Big 12 just looked pretty average.
Obviously,
other than the Oklahoma schools and TCU, but
I would say Baylor looked a lot less than average. We can stick with the state of Texas because I'd love to just keep talking about the other Texas program.
Yeah, how ironic is that they lose to Liberty?
I think the only school more Christian than Baylor.
Yeah. So I mean the joke's right himself, but I don't even know what to take away from that.
I don't either. I mean, I was really disappointed. I thought Matt Rhule was going to be a really good coach. He was really good at Temple. I'm a little disappointed, but I'm not disappointed that Baylor lost. Like, everyone kind of cheers for Baylor to lose. I'm sad that Matt Rhule has to be the one to take this.
Yeah, I'd have to. That's one of those games where I kind of just saw the score, you know, periodically go on the ticker, and it was kind of an interesting thing to keep up with. So I haven't actually seen any footage of the game, but it might be worth just going back and watching the highlights.
Well, I can tell you stats-wise, they let up nearly 600 yards at home to Liberty.
Yeah, so that's not good. So I'd like to actually, you know, go watch the film and see if this is going to be the normal or if this is just one of those weird wonky weeks.
Right.
I mean, is this going to be a one-win team? Like, that would be a huge shock and step down from where they've been.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me though with what happened to the program. I mean,
I know that the recruiting's taken a hit, but you don't expect this immediate impact from one season.
Yeah, not that big of an impact, but if somebody told me that it happened, it wouldn't necessarily blow my mind because of, you know, what's happened to the program.
No, I could see this a few years down. Like, this is where these lasting effects will take place, but
immediately,
I figured it would take a few years to get to this point.
That's
true. If this is what it's like for the rest of the season, that's Man, that's
they better tear down that stadium they just built. That's all I'm saying. Yeah,
that's crazy.
But sticking with the state of Texas, what about the Aggies?
Yeah, wow, that was what a game. I was telling you this right before it came on. That was one of the few games that I watched live, but was so impressed with A&M and so disappointed with UCLA that I just kind of turned it off. I mean, they legit looked like a top 10 team. I didn't turn it off. I switched to another game, but and then obviously they ended up losing. But I wanted to rewatch the game and figure out like where it went wrong and what happened. But I fell asleep at the exact same point, so
Jesus.
I still haven't seen UCLA win. So to me, Texas A&M is still that top 10 team that I've seen.
To you, the Aggies are 2-0 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. To me, the Aggies are probably the favorite to win the national championship. And well, what's the backup quarterback's name?
Oh, I don't remember.
He looks like a stud.
He should. I think Hubenak would have been a much better backup, but
like I still have to go find out what went wrong, because I mean the running game was unstoppable.
Their team started to look scared when UCLA started to look dominant. The Aggies just fell apart. Their players were out there playing scared all of a sudden. They had so much swagger that they had a pimp cane on the field. And then they played so scared and timid the second that UCLA started playing good.
So someone's pretty firmly on the hot seat now.
He's number one by far.
Yeah. I think he already was, but
right, exactly. I mean, he was already up there, but after that, I mean,
but I don't know if he'll make it out of the season now.
Yeah. And
it definitely take a few upsets.
I'm not going to take up everybody's time this episode, but I do have an article on the blog. What did we say? It's Wix/Chairgaten. I don't know. It's Wix.com, Chairgaten. I posted a blog article. There's a conspiracy right now that is connecting all of these coaches that are choking to U of H, and it's pretty good. Matt Rhule, Tom Herman, Sumlin, Briles, Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, all these coaches are connected to UH. So the conspiracy is that U of H has planted moles in all of the in-state competition to be the best.
Interesting.
Yeah, TCU was the only one left out, but TCU at the time was just in the Mountain West Conference. So it's a...
Where's Matt Rhule's connection to Houston?
The athletic director currently at Baylor, Mac Rhodes, got hired to Baylor from University of Houston. So he hired Matt Rhule, and he was RAD, who hired Tom Herman.
Crazy.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. Okay, so I think that wraps it up for our week one review. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, just in conclusion, Big 12, whatever. ACC not looking good. SEC looked good. Pac-12 looked really good.
Pac-12, and my biggest surprise.
Big 10. Actually, Pac-12, the competition was really weak, so it's hard to take. Because the big dogs, USC, actually didn't look good.
That's true. USC didn't, and we're going to get into that in a
big
second.
Big 10 looked really good. But, yeah, so.
Well, I don't want to stick on this too much, but I think Colorado being in Colorado State, for some reason, whatever, that was enough for me to be like, okay, the Pac's good again. And then the Big 10 looked good beating themselves up. The ACC disappointment. The SEC looked as good as they always do. And the Big 12 looks as depressing as I always thought they were.
All right.
Okay. So we actually have an interview this episode. It's the first interview Chairgaten's ever done. It's with a guy named Paxton Seguina. He was a wide receiver for Stanford. He had to medically leave the team because of concussions. We'll get into that in the interview. But we're pretty excited. Hope everybody enjoys it. Let's get into it. All right, I want to welcome everybody to the very first Chairgaten interview. So this is a pretty big deal for us, and I hope it's good. We'll see. We're going to start with Paxton Seguina. He was a wide receiver at Stanford. You can say what up.
What's up?
There you go. There you go. Just a cool guy. Currently not playing anymore, right?
Yeah, recently medically retired.
Okay, medically retired, but still played wide receiver, scholarship. No walk-on, right?
No, not a
walk-on, no. So a legit football player, you know, not some poser that just wants to play football.
I feel like the scholarship actually takes away from his credibility.
I don't. I think there was only one Rudy, and then after that, everybody else is a bunch of posers. Okay. So that's it. I guess we're just gonna kind of start this and go into some questions, get a little bit of inside information about Stanford, see if we can figure out if they're actually gonna beat USC next week. I think Jay's got a few questions. Jay, do you want to start with anything?
Yeah, for sure. This is the first time I've been introduced to Paxton, so I did a little bit of research, though, right before this.
Uh-oh.
Found out that you were once committed to Rice. Is that true?
That is true. Yep, for about a year.
Oh, wow. No.
So what made you, I guess, first commit to Rice, and then why'd you go over and switch to Stanford?
So my dad played at Rice. So I grew up being a diehard Owl fan, which you don't get many of those, but
no,
I loved my Owls. I grew up going to all the games. My dad took me to about 4 games a year ever since I was about 5
years
old.
They were probably one of 13 fans there.
Yep, yep. It was a library for sure, but it meant everything to me. And they were my first offer, after I think right in the middle of my junior year. And I just took it right off the bat. Didn't even think about anything else. Said no to a bunch of other schools. And
what are a few other schools you said no to?
The academies, the...
Oh, shit.
The Ivy Leagues, I said no to.
Okay, so you were only getting offers from like really, really smart schools.
Smart schools, because okay. I kind of said no to the big schools. It's always been my dream just to use football to get into an academic school.
Okay, so he's just
really
smart.
Yeah, it sounds like it, because the Rice and Stanford, one thing they have in common is obviously the academics.
Right, yeah, the academies. Right.
Well, I'm not smart enough to get into those schools by myself, so I had to use something, man.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a solid point. So for all the nerds out there that aren't smart enough, just be good at football.
Or be good at something.
Yeah.
Be good at something.
Yeah, just start being good at football.
So, and then from Rice, I guess you got talked to by Stanford a little bit later, and then...
So, it was pretty much Rice all the way for me until Stanford came around. And when Stanford came around, I mean, my dad kind of told me, he's like, look, I know how you feel about Rice. I know you love Rice so much, but Stanford doesn't come around all the time. And
yeah,
no offense, and I'm your father, but I love you. You'd be retarded to not take this Stanford offer. I'm like, okay, yep.
That's a true Rice fan right there.
True Rice fan. He's like, please don't. He's like, don't sell yourself short. I love Coach Bailiff and their whole staff. They're the greatest group of men I've ever met. But that was my dad's advice, and I took it and couldn't turn down Coach Shaw at Stanford.
So I'm sure Jay has a lot more questions, but coming off that question, how did you feel about last week, Stanford versus Rice in Australia? Were you cheering for one or the other, or like what are you doing?
No, I was cheering all the way for Stanford.
Okay.
And my boys at Stanford.
What about your dad?
My dad is Rice all the way.
Damn.
You know, even we played Rice last year, and I actually redshirted last year, and we hosted Rice at Stanford Stadium.
Nice.
Also known as the Library. And my dad wore his Rice shirt proudly.
Damn. That's ruthless.
Yeah, ruthless, but you know, neither one of them were close contests, so.
Right, right. Come on, let's be real here.
Let's be real.
Academically, they're both very good schools. I would say they compete academically.
Absolutely.
Sports-wise, baseball.
That was gonna be,
I said some baseball.
Yeah, there you
that
go.
Was gonna be my next, that was going to be my next question about the academics. Was I've always kind of wondered what the admission process is for a student-athlete, because it's hard for me to imagine that every single one of those athletes is on the same academic level, just for how competitive they are. But is that the case, or is...
So it's a little different at Stanford. With everywhere else in the NCAA, you just have to have a minimum requirement for your SAT, ACT. You can't fail classes. You know, you have to pass everything. It's very, very, very minimum. And Stanford, you have to take 2 AP classes every single year you're in high school. You have to have minimums of 80s instead of 70s, both in AP and regular, whichever one you take. Which, I mean, wasn't too difficult, but it still was something. And you had to have the minimum ACT, SAT requirement was definitely higher than that of the regular NCAA requirement.
And so, to your knowledge, they actually, like, held that up for everyone. Because clearly you were smart enough to all that.
There have been guys who were committed to Stanford and they didn't get into the school. Whew. And, like, the coaches, we've had the best athletes. There's a kid, Demetrius Robinson. Robertson, who plays at Cal now because he couldn't get into Stanford, but he was one of the best athletes I've ever seen in person.
Damn.
And he plays receiver now. He played as a true freshman, and Stanford didn't let him in.
Well,
wow, so he was always committed to Stanford, and he just couldn't get admitted, I guess?
Yeah.
Well, was he just playing? He's playing right now for Cal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
playing right now. Well, we'll have to look up the stats on that for the UNC game, I guess.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's a stud.
Interesting. Interesting. Jay, anything else?
Yeah, I've got a few other things, but if you got something to ask, we can go ahead.
I was going to ask about David Shaw because, personally, I like him as a coach. I think I'm not a huge Pac fan. I don't like West Coast football. I like Southeast SEC. Some Big 12, mostly just Southern football, and then some of the Big 10. But for West Coast football, I'm not a fan. But I do like David Shaw. What do you have to say about him?
Coach Shaw is hands down the best man I've ever met in my entire life. Yeah, he's a great football coach, but you take the football coach part away, and he's just a great man. He's like a father figure and a dad away from your home. And I have nothing but amazing experiences with that man. And seriously, like he's changed the culture at Stanford, and he's changed the way that football players approach football there. I have the utmost respect for him.
Yeah, and you were telling me when we first met a few days ago or last week, so you're not on the football team anymore because you medically had to leave, but you were saying something about your scholarship staying intact?
Yeah. So I had a bad concussion in high school that everyone thought my career was going to be over, but four months later, I was okay, started playing basketball again, continued my career at Stanford, headed there for the summer, started summer workouts, straight into the season. That was fine. And during a few practices during the season, I had a few bumps on my head in spring ball and in fall ball. Saw a few doctors, failed multiple brain tests, which
was the only test he fails, by the way.
I was told by a few doctors that I would be an idiot if I ever stepped foot on a field again. So I wanted to take the doctor's advice on that one. But yeah, Coach Shaw talked me through the whole process, and instead of, you know, he didn't view it as losing an athlete and losing an asset. He viewed it as, look, this is like my kid. I'm going to treat you like you're my son. And look, I only want the best for you, and I know your head's all messed up right now, and this isn't about your next 3 years. This is about your next 30. This is about your next 50 years. And I want you to be healthy for your kids and your kids' kids instead of being good at football right now. So he kept my scholarship intact and has showed nothing but support through this whole process. And this all just happened this summer.
Damn. So that's crazy. If there's any like recruits listening to our podcast, apparently you should try to get into Stanford because this is what this whole interview has been so far.
It's just a sales pitch.
Just a sales pitch for Stanford.
Oh, so, I love it, man.
At the end of this episode, we'll play like the Stanford theme music with like a commercial in the background. We're like, come visit Stanford.
So did those head issues, was that just like one big hit? Or obviously it's probably the culmination of multiple, but can you think back to like one hit that kind of stood out among the rest?
Well, I mean, in high school, I mean, if you did some research, it was probably the first thing that popped up even before Stanford recruit, just because it was really, really bad. It was the last game of our regular season in high school.
Who were you playing?
Georgetown High School. It was kind of like,
oh,
yep.
The fight never dies.
Yep.
Hey.
We ended up losing that game.
Nice.
We won the year before. Thank you.
Yeah. Well.
But I went up for a ball and I had a concussion 2 weeks prior to that game, but I kind of finessed the concussion system on that and got on the field, which wasn't the wise thing to do. Any young athletes listening right now, do not mess around with concussions. But I went up for a ball and had to come back for it, and I got pushed down, my head whiplashed against the turf, and I didn't get up. I had no idea where I was. They walked me to the field house, and it went downhill from there. Do you want the full story? Because it's kind of depressing. I don't know if you want that on your podcast.
No. But do you remember the kid's name?
The kid who
that pushed you down, that caused the whole thing?
Oh, he actually played receiver, and they had him mark me the whole game, or guard me the whole game.
Do you remember his name?
His name was Javonte Grimble. I think that's what it was.
Okay. Just seeing if I know. It's a Georgetown thing. Anyway.
It was a few years after you.
Just a few. Just a few.
He actually plays at, I think, Sam Houston State right now.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. So he's pretty good, I guess.
He was a great player, very good player.
Nice.
Yep. And no hard feelings. If he was, I mean, he reached out to me afterwards. It wasn't like a cheap hit or anything.
Oh damn, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it was just football.
Okay. Anything else on high school, Jay?
Well, I guess I was gonna talk about Georgetown, but that's probably answers.
Okay.
Yeah, I played against him junior year. I played against him junior year.
Okay.
but that was like the third play of the game. Like third offensive play of the game. Yeah, okay. It was not fun.
I was about to say, 'cause when I was playing in high school, that was Vandergrift was still a really young school, and so that was always a pretty easy win. But I know they just made it to state a few years ago, right?
We made it to the semifinals, but got blown out by Temple.
nice research there, Jay.
Well, close enough.
Yeah, Jay used to play Georgetown football back in the day.
There you go.
Well, I think everything in Texas after semis is like considered state.
Pretty much, yeah. If you make it to the state semifinals, you're pretty much there.
Yeah, that counts. When you were in high school, were y'all playing in the district they're in now against Lake Travis and Westlake?
No, we played schools like Leander, Dripping Springs, Marble Falls. We were in 5A. We just got bumped up to 6A this year.
Okay.
So, yeah. Actually, I think it was last year.
Yeah, I was doing some research on their district now. And, I mean, just the fact that there's a Lake Travis and Westlake in the same district is insane.
Yeah.
If anybody knows Texas football, I mean, that's crazy. They used to not be in the same district, so... Mm.
But yeah, now Vandergrift's a pretty tough team too. So
it sounds like it.
It's definitely the premier like Central Texas district.
For sure.
Interesting. Jay, anything else on high school?
No, that was pretty much it for high school.
Okay, moving on to college, or back to college. Have you been keeping up much with the team since you've left?
Oh yeah, all my best friends are on the team, and I have a couple boys that are starting now. My best friend's a receiver. Shout out Donald Stewart.
What up?
He's the next AJ Green.
Oh shit!
Keep an eye on Donald Stewart, number eight ball.
This is what we want
to
hear.
Yeah, he's gonna be a stud, and he already is a stud. But man, I can't wait to see what he does.
Okay, cool.
Also, KJ Costello, scratch golfer.
What
fun fact?
Okay.
He's battling for a QB job right now. He's fighting against two of our older guys who are also great. We have a very competitive QB battle right now. He's my year.
So he's a sophomore.
He's a redshirt freshman.
Oh, redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just had his first touchdown in the game against Rice, a 28-yard scramble.
Okay. So he's got some time.
Yeah.
He's got some time. How does the team look this year, you think? Because I know everybody's been saying they won't be as good as last year. What do you think?
That's completely false.
Oh, okay.
Christian McCaffrey is unbelievable, right? Obviously. Christian McCaffrey, Solomon Thomas, everyone knows them.
Yeah. Great athletes.
Oh, the best athletes I've ever seen.
Okay.
And the hardest workers I've ever seen, hands down. But because of the big names of them, they didn't really hear about any of the small names.
Mm-hmm.
But those small names are guaranteed to be big names this year.
Any small names that you would...
Oh, Bryce Love, Keller Chris, quarterback right now.
Right, because I've been hearing a lot about Love and how he's actually going to be really, really good. And he was really good, but like you said, we didn't really hear much about him.
Yeah, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he's a receiver. He's going to have a great year. Trenton Irwin, he's also a receiver. Probably the best safety I've ever seen in person, Justin Reed. He has a brother who plays for the 49ers right now, Eric Reed.
Okay.
Is he better than Javonte Grimble?
I would say so. I think he's going to be a potential first-round pick.
Damn.
Let's see. The cornerback, Quentin Meeks, hated going against him in practice. But we have a very, very good secondary this year and great linebackers, so... I think our defense is going to be our strong suit. Running the ball is going to be our strong suit because our O-line is killer every year. I'm more of an offensive guy, so I really think we can pound the ball down anyone's throats this year.
Anyone's, huh?
Absolutely.
So this sounds especially like West you're Coast. Pretty confident about this week's matchup.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get into.
I mean, USC is a great, great team.
Are
so
they?
It's going to
their
be...
Their week one game, I mean, it was very underwhelming.
Yeah, very true.
That was really... I was very surprised by that game, actually. I think more so than any game.
Yeah.
Because Stanford did, like Jay said in the last episode, Stanford did what they were supposed to do against Rice, which is just beat the shit out of them. And they did that. It didn't prove much to me because I knew they were going to do that. What proved a lot to me was USC actually not beating the shit out of Western Michigan. And so I have so much more faith in Stanford beating USC now, but...
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, because first games are always kind of shaky.
Right.
You're testing your offense out. You're testing what plays work. You don't want to show everything because you don't want it on film.
CJ, told you this.
So I wouldn't judge USC too hard based off their first week performance.
Right.
I think they're going to be a strong team coming out of the gates.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to be able to hang with the O-line.
Okay.
The front seven's not going to be able to
hang with the O-line. Team in the pack, then, do you think is going to give you the toughest run?
Oh, man.
It has to be Washington, right?
I was Washington, just gonna say that. Yeah. That would be my first guess if it's not USC.
Yeah, I think Washington and USC are gonna be the two.
I mean, Washington's coach alone he's amazing, you know.
Yeah, and Washington handed it to us last year. Yeah. So I think we're gonna be trying to prove something.
Yeah, I mean, Washington earned their spot in the playoffs last year, but. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I think Stanford's definitely got a chance, and I'm not just saying that because I'm sitting next to a guy that was a wide receiver there. That's twice my size.
Well, USC, Vegas is still not too confident because USC is still a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I don't understand that after what happened in week one. But like we said last week, I put so much faith in Troy, and I said I don't understand what Vegas is doing here, and clearly I was wrong. But, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little biased.
Just obviously.
Very, very biased.
But until we get a player or ex-player from USC to come on and talk, I think you have the most inside information.
Absolutely.
Between me or Jay, at least.
Yep.
Have you now become... Okay, growing up, you were a Rice fan. Conference-wise, did you like one conference over the other? Were you like a Big 12 guy because of Texas?
I was definitely a Big 12 guy.
Right. I think everyone in Texas was, especially back in the day when it was actually good with Nebraska and Colorado.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And, you know,
oh,
it was a
man,
fun conference.
It was
conference.
The best conference
yeah,
ever, man.
That was a really fun conference.
Such a fun conference.
Now, are you like a Pac guy?
I would say I'm a Pac guy.
Right.
Because the competition's great.
Well, and it's understandable to not be a Big 12 guy anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The Big 12 is just falling apart.
Yeah, I think the Longhorn Network kind of started all that.
Oh, my God, yes.
But, yeah, that definitely used to be my favorite. I used to play quarterback up until, like, freshman, sophomore year of high school. So, Vince Young, Colt McCoy were my heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I watched UT. UT was my second place favorite behind Rice.
Okay.
Which you don't hear very often. But
yeah, that's
the most reversed. Insane yep. statement I've ever heard, but I yep. love it. Yep. I love that statement so much. And I went to U of H, so...
Oh, yeah.
having a Rice fan here is just weird yeah. to me. It's not really, like, upsetting like most rivalries. It's more just, like, I've actually met one in person, and that's kind of strange.
It is strange. Well, yeah. My uncle did play at U of H as well.
Oh.
He was a linebacker.
Oh. What year?
Many years ago.
Do you remember the year?
I do not. That? I think he graduated in... I don't want to guess wrong and insult him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I'm thinking 75.
Okay. So pre-wear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, this is off topic. Sorry, Jay. Did you have any more questions?
Yeah. How much did you get paid to go to Stanford?
I mean, I got the full ride scholarship.
I see. By the way, he drove up in a brand new Jeep Wrangler. So. Hmm.
Well, I mean, that was my dad's promise. He said, look, if you get a scholarship to school and you pay for your school, I'll pay for your new car.
But also, okay, he referred to David Shaw as a father-like figure before, so I'm just saying.
No, not even
the audience
close.
Can connect their own dots here.
Not even close. David Shaw is the most honest guy.
Okay. Well, until we get David Shaw in here to say he didn't pay you, I'm just joking. Promise, we're just joking.
Yeah. Sorry. That was kind of a leading question. What I should have asked was, how much did Christian McCaffrey and Solomon Thomas get paid?
As far as I know, $0.
Okay.
I think they would have gotten kicked off the team because Coach Shaw was very, very strict on that. He actually had I forgot what the meeting was called, but we had a meeting 3 times a year about external cash flow. And if there was even a sniff of it, you were out of there. You were suspended.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This is coming from an Ole Miss fan, so I guess I'm just...
He's a little butthurt about... He yep. wants to prove that every other school does what they're accused of doing.
I don't doubt it.
No, but you were talking about how hard of a workers that the two probably the best players on that team were. How infectious is that? That kind of like resonates throughout the entire team.
Well, those two guys, I mean, they were a different breed, and they just worked so hard. But Christian McCaffrey really, he wasn't very vocal. He was when he absolutely had to be, but he just showed everybody the example by how hard he worked, and everybody, it was infectious. You know, you'd see him running, you'd see him absolutely just sprinting his butt off during gassers or sprints or whatever it was, and you're like, okay, he's the best player in the whole country.
Damn.
And he's wearing himself out in these gassers. He's giving his all just conditioning. Like, why shouldn't we, you know? And Solomon Thomas too. Solomon Thomas, he's a big teddy bear off the field, but man, he is mean on the field. But he was more vocal. But both of the guys, when they had to be, extremely vocal, but they led by example for sure, less by mouth.
So I swear to God, Paxton needs to be like a spokesman for a Stanford football program, because he's making me like want to go to Stanford, and I've graduated already.
Oh man, I want everyone to go there.
I don't think it's the case that you could just be like, hey, I want to go to the school, I'm gonna go. It's probably more like they have to select you.
Well,
sorry, Rattlesnake.
I'm a pretty big time journalist now. I think I could pull some strings. I mean, I did report from the press box at a Texas State versus HBU game, so.
Yeah, that's big time.
Yeah, that's pretty big time. I'm getting big time now. Anything else, Jay?
No, not really. This is kind of just a general comment about the USC game that I didn't realize that Western Michigan ran for almost 300 yards on them.
Right. So I was actually I was reading this earlier today. How do you think your offense is going to fare against an apparently extremely weak defense that USC has, especially with your running game?
Yeah, I mean, we have a quarterback that has, I mean, he's 6'5", 240. You know, he's a fullback playing quarterback who can throw the ball 70 yards. So I think we have definitely a dual threat in the backfield with Bryce Love and him. And we also have our backup running back, Cam Scarlett, who's just as talented. And a powerful O-line. One of my good friends, Nate Herbig, started as a true freshman. He was actually freshman lineman of the year. He was a freshman All-American playing left guard. We call him Big Island. He's from Hawaii. He weighs about 350 right now.
Okay.
So running behind that left guard and that left side, I think we're going to be pretty unstoppable.
Okay. Well,
yeah, that was my comment. It's like if Western Michigan can put up almost 300 rushing yards.
Right.
Like, jeez. Right. That doesn't bode well for this week.
Okay, so what to take from this interview is Stanford will win not only the national championship, but the national championship for the next 4 years. So,
that's my hope.
That's what you can take from this interview. Right, Jay?
For real, yeah. I mean, it sounds like all their talent's super young, too.
So. I know. I have so much confidence in this program right now. Me and Jay were talking about this episode. We're going to have to go through and pick our favorite teams from each conference, and I think me and Jay are going to be fighting over Stanford after this interview.
Yeah, and I'm no expert, but I have a lot of faith in my boys, so.
Okay. Well, Paxton is going back to California in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
But next time we need any info, any inside info on the pack, we're going to have to do some kind of three-way Skype, right, Jay?
Yeah, that'll probably cause some lag issues.
Yep. Well, I don't care. Paxton's got to be our West Coast inside guy now.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yep. Correspondent.
See, yeah, I need that dose of football every once in a while.
Exactly.
I'll be a nerd from here on out, taking a lot more units. You know, trying to do some computer science.
Oh shit. Hey, you're talking to the nerdiest guy I know. Jay's an engineer graduate student. So
appreciate that. That's a good compliment.
Yeah.
All right.
Terrible with stats.
I can learn something.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been our first interview. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Hopefully we have more to come if people actually want to be on this podcast, right, Jay?
Yeah, we'll do our part.
If Jay ever actually does it, I brought the first interview. Jay, you have yet to do anything. I'm just...
Hey, I recommend it. These are two great guys.
See, there you go. And that's coming straight from a Stanford ex-football player. But he's smart. He goes to a smart school, so be smart like him. fair warning to... What was your mom's name? Wendy?
Wendy.
Wendy, if she listens... I met his mother, Wendy. She's an amazing lady. Sorry that I'm cussing, but your son was great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
All right.
Shout out.
All right. That's it. All right, and that was our first interview. Hope everybody enjoyed it. We'd love to come back with some more. Me and Jay were talking, though, and we said in the last episode we were going to pick our favorite teams from each conference. We decided, because of this interview, we would just go ahead and pick our pack teams. I think, obviously, because of the interview, and also, me and Jay just need to get more involved in the pack. I talk a lot of shit about West Coast football. I stand by that, but I would like to start cheering for a pack team. I have nobody over there, so... Jay actually, like he said, put it into a random generator in a computer.
Yeah, I figured that was the most unbiased method to do this. I didn't want to have any input. And unfortunately, it gave me the Arizona State Sun Devils.
It could have been worse. It could have
Maybe.
Been worse.
Maybe. Could it?
Yeah, Oregon State.
Maybe. I might actually go with Oregon State. But
why? Because have a chance of being good again?
I guess the storyline for Arizona State after a 6-point win against New Mexico State.
Dude, that was so bad.
the Todd Graham era, how much longer that's going to last.
That was such a bad game. Yeah.
So it'll be, let's see who they're playing next. New Mexico, no, San Diego State. That's right.
Oh, that's right. Because who did you pick in the?
Oh, we both picked San Diego State.
You have to change it. You know that, right?
I don't. It's just my team. I don't have to.
That's bullshit. I feel like this should be a thing where whoever you pick, you got to pick.
No, it's just the team that I'm going to keep up with.
All right, fine. I did not do that. I picked my own team. I picked Washington, and I know how lame that is right now because they're good again. It was between Colorado or Washington, so shout out to all the Colorado people. I just love Chris Peterson. I'm sorry. That's the only reason I picked them. I love Chris Peterson. So I'm a Washington guy now. I'm UW, so that's it.
Yeah. You've always been a Washington fan.
No, always. Yeah, everybody knows that about me. So, yeah, actually.
Ever since that 2000 season when they won the national championship.
Yeah, ever since that, like, 30 seconds ago when I randomly picked them because I liked their coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I just like a good G5 school, and I like what he did at Boise State, and I like how he was able to transition that over to a P5 conference and still continue to win. It's like Gary Patterson with TCU. I love that coach. So, all right, that's it. That's it. We are officially Pack fans. So let's get into week 2. What do we got, Joe?
So this week's really weirdly scheduled. there's a lot of, obviously it's a huge weekend of football. A lot of headline games, but they're all late, and it kind of provides some weird like midday viewing games. As far as the games on this list, it's like Northwestern, Duke, and then Iowa and Iowa State.
Yeah.
That's pretty much your only entertainment until the nightcaps.
Is that entertainment?
But outside of this, I think Oregon, Nebraska is earlier, maybe an afternoon game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a 4:30 game. Why does Fox always have weird kickoff times?
I don't know. I guess I haven't noticed it.
Yeah, but yeah, obviously the big nightcaps, starting with Auburn Clemson at 7:00 on ESPN.
Mm.
This is all in Eastern time.
That's an awesome game.
Yeah, and then straight from there, 7:30. There's two 7:30 games: Georgia Notre Dame, and then Oklahoma Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then 8:30. So I guess the Auburn-Clemson game will probably be approaching halftime at this point. Stanford-USC.
Yep. What about TCU-Arkansas? When's that?
TCU-Arkansas, that is a 3:30 game. So
okay.
There's your afternoon entertainment. It's on CBS.
Yeah, I like that matchup. Okay, let's just run down the list then and just say who we got for the games we have.
All right. Ohio-Purdue.
I have Purdue.
And I'm going Ohio.
Are you? Did you watch Purdue against Louisville?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, moving on.
Memphis Central Florida.
Who'd you got?
We both have Memphis as this one.
Okay, good pick. I'm an AAC guy, I know, so good pick.
Central Michigan Kansas.
Who do you got?
We both went Kansas.
Okay, why'd you go Kansas?
Because Central Michigan game was pretty ugly last week.
Yeah, they needed 3 overtimes just to beat Rhode Island.
Was it 3? I thought it was 2.
No, it's 3 consecutive overtimes to beat Rhode Island.
Crazy.
What is Rhode Island? I don't even know. Is that a college?
I think this is their first year as a football team.
Central Michigan, man, that is really disappointing. So, yeah, I don't think I've ever picked Kansas to win a football game. Please don't let me down, Jayhawks.
Yeah, and then Old Dominion UMass.
I got Old Dominion.
Yeah, ODU. Northwestern Duke.
For that one, I actually picked Duke.
And I'm going Northwestern.
And you're probably right on that. I don't know. I was just looking at the games last week, and I know it was, Central North Carolina or Central Carolina. Like you said, they did what they're supposed to do and beat the shit out of a small school. So I'm going Duke.
All right, Iowa State.
I have Iowa.
Yeah, it's tough for me to pick Iowa State in this game.
Yep. Yeah. After Wyoming, we're still not sure how good Wyoming is or is not yet, but all I know is Iowa handedly defeated them. So.
Yeah, that Wake Forest Boston College. God, these games are just rough. I can't.
It's hard for me to even. So hard, yeah. Wake Forest Boston College. I picked Wake Forest.
We both went Wake.
Okay, cool.
Rice UTEP. We're getting there.
Rice.
I went UTEP.
Did you? Why?
Because I have a bet going on the over, what I think it's 2.5 wins for UTEP.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So this is.
Did you watch them play Oklahoma?
Yeah, but that's. I mean, who cares about against a top 10 team in the country? It's Rice.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's UTEP. UTEP, man. Anything from, I don't know. Oklahoma game. I could never bet anything on UTEP. Sorry, Miners. I love El Paso.
Indiana, Virginia.
I have Indiana.
Same.
They really did actually look good against Ohio State. So
I'm saying my upset call wasn't too far off.
No, it really was. They actually did look really good. Who is the wide receiver? Simi Jr.?
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, their wide receiver, Simi Jr., just tore up Ohio State's back until they had to double-team him in the second half. And then anyway, he's a great wide receiver. I think Indiana's actually not as bad as I thought they were. So good pick on that, Che.
All right, Western Kentucky, Illinois.
I got Hilltoppers, baby.
Same, yeah.
Okay.
The Hilltoppers. Now we're getting into some games. TCU, all Arkansas. Right.
I feel like TCU.
I'm just going Arkansas just to keep it interesting.
Oh, really? Is that actually the only reason, or did you have?
Well, no. I think this game is such a. If on paper it just feels like such a toss up. Like,
yep, I totally agree.
These teams match up very well against each other.
I'm going TCU because, like I said, I love their coach.
All right, South Carolina, Missouri. This game could actually be pretty fun.
You think so?
I mean, Missouri put up, what, 75 points last week?
Yeah, who were they playing? Missouri State?
Missouri State, yeah.
Okay, so...
Regardless,
South Carolina beat a really good team.
Yeah, so I'm just saying these two offenses could be pretty fun against each other.
Yeah, who'd you pick?
South Carolina.
Okay, well, so did I. So that was...
I'm not saying that Missouri's going to win. I just said it's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, actually, you might be right, but I still think South Carolina beat them by like at least 2 touchdowns.
Auburn, Clemson.
I got Auburn.
And I'm going Clemson.
Okay. We can talk about this one a little bit. We can slow it down. Why Clemson?
I think it's going to be a pretty defense centered game. Mm-hmm. Both defenses are probably what's going to carry them. But I just feel like Kelly Bryant being in the Clemson system for what, 3 years now? Compared to Jarrett Stidham, who's probably more talented, but
right.
he's only played one game at Auburn. I feel like that leadership combined with the home field advantage and just kind of what I saw on the field last week, they both look like, you know, potential top 10 talents. But mainly it's just the home field advantage.
All right.
Georgia, Notre Dame.
I have Georgia.
I have Notre Dame.
All right. Is there any reason?
Yeah, Jacob Eason's out. They got a true freshman starting for Georgia. Notre Dame, I actually feel like you're probably going to think this is crazy, but I think they're top 15 talented.
No, they definitely look better than they have in the past. Like they actually deserve a ranking rather than just being handed one.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you.
Thank you.
But I picked App State to upset Georgia. And I feel like now, just out of respect, I need to pick Georgia.
All right. Well,
that's my great insight.
All right. Oklahoma, Ohio State.
Probably could be wrong on this one, too, but I picked Ohio State.
Yeah, same.
Oh, did you?
Honestly, I kind of a hot take, but I think Ohio State looked better than Alabama.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
I know the numbers probably won't tell that, but.
Hold up. Okay, but also, Jay, you're the guy that just said that A&M's the best team in the nation. But why? Any kind of rationale for this, though? I am actually very interested.
Yeah, JT Barrett is an extremely talented quarterback under an incredible system. Obviously, Urban Meyer. Like, the coaching, it kind of speaks for itself. You know?
Right, that's obvious.
The defensive front for Ohio State, I think, is more talented than the defensive front for Alabama. Probably the most talented defensive front in the country, maybe other than Clemson. The defensive backs, they lost a lot, and that was kind of on showcase against Indiana until they made the adjustments, and then they shut down the, you know, probably all Big Ten receiver.
Right, yeah.
And then I think the offensive line for Alabama was pretty underwhelming. Obviously, that was against Florida State, who has very talented defensive linemen. But if it was a head-to-head matchup, I feel like Ohio State defensive line could probably clog up a lot of those holes. And then on top of that, just looking at Alabama's side, I was not very impressed with Jalen Hurts. He made a few good throws downfield, but overall, I feel like he hasn't really improved much from last season. So yeah, for all those reasons, obviously I'm not trying to like say Alabama's not going to be the national champion or make the playoffs, but just from my
week one
perspective, yeah.
Yeah, week one
I'm definitely going to pick Ohio State to win every game.
Wow.
Until I see something otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is the week to see something otherwise.
Exactly, yeah. Oklahoma's probably got the best one of the best, probably top three offensive line units in the country. So if there's one unit that's going to neutralize that front seven of Ohio State, it's going to be Oklahoma, and then they've got the weapons to, you know, utilize that.
Yeah. I solely picked Ohio State because of coaching. Like you said, it speaks for itself. Oklahoma has, you know, their head coach was their OC, which, you know, it's not like a terrible effect. It's an easy transition, but still, he just does not have the experience like Urban Meyer. And when you have two really great teams playing each other, I think in the fourth quarter it comes down to just who has the better coach.
Yeah, I agree. That typically will happen.
Yep. So that's the only reason I think a lot of people are picking Oklahoma, just based off week one games. Obviously, you saw something, you know, a little bit more than I did. I know they're a great team, but yeah, I picked them solely for coach. So
Stanford, Southern Cal, we probably don't even need to cover this as much because we talked about it in the interview, but I picked Stanford.
Yeah, of course. One, I mean, that interview, just talking to Paxton, I'm like just diehard Stanford fan now. Two, USC, wow. We don't have to get too much into this, but week one, they just did not look good.
Yeah, no, not at all. 263 rushing yards, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Stanford's just going to run all over them. And I looked up a lot of these guys that Paxton was talking about, and their stats are pretty good. There are obviously a lot of young guys that he played with. So I'm really excited to see this team now. He's got me hyped up.
All right, and we'll just run through these last few games. Minnesota, Oregon State.
Do we even have to pick? Did you not pick Minnesota?
Yeah, I picked Minnesota.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, come on. Oregon State, after watching what Colorado State did to them, I just can't pick them ever.
San Diego State, Arizona State.
SDSU.
Picking against
my squad. No.
Utah, BYU, the Holy War.
Yeah, this one, I think Utah might be the better team, but I think BYU's going to pull it out.
Yeah, I went with Utah strictly because I think they're the best team.
I agree, but in a... Well, that's stupid. No, but in a rivalry game, it's tough to pick the more talented team when the players really care about beating their rivals. And BYU just saw some of the top talent in the entire country. And, you know, they're going to be watching film based on that. So I think they could pull it off.
They did just face one of the most talented teams in the country and didn't score a single touchdown.
True. If they don't pull this one off, I don't think I'm ever picking them for the rest of this season. Because I've been talking about BYU being at least good. And mm-hmm. I might be wrong. So let's finish it up with my team, baby. They're back. No more postpones. They actually canceled the UTSA game, so that one's just done. But University of Houston versus Arizona. In Arizona, who'd you pick?
I had to go with the Cougs.
Okay. Let's go Cougs, baby. I am going to say that in a normal circumstance, I would have picked them over Arizona hands down. I think they're honestly just the better team. And a lot of times when P5 schools play G5 schools, they're more talented on the field. I think U of H has so much talent, bit of unexperienced talent right now, but a lot of talent on the field. The only thing that is slightly concerning, if people are putting money down, you know, maybe listen up to this part. They just had a press conference with Major Applewhite today, and he was just listing some of our top players who, I mean, you can't understand the devastation that their families have gone through. Like, some of these players, like, families are just homeless. So having to travel to Arizona and, you know, try not to think about your family in a situation like that's probably pretty tough. I hope they can fight through it. It is a little concerning for me.
Definitely, yeah.
As a UBase fan.
Whenever I hear about these events, obviously they're terrible. And you always hear about the focus on the field, because, you know, how can a human that's going through this possibly focus during a game? And I don't think it's the focus during the game that's an issue. You know, once they got the helmet on, they're on the field, that's not something that's going through their head.
Yeah, they're not man, what's my mom doing right now?
Yeah, it's the preparation up to that point.
Yeah.
If you're spending a week trying to focus on football and video and, you know, obviously the film and studying the playbook, you know, how much of your, you know, mental energy are you going to be spending thinking about other things? It's definitely the preparation. So,
and they're traveling to Arizona. I mean, that really doesn't help.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting time. So
some of
you might have just talked me out of my pick.
Yeah, I know. I mean, even the starting running back wasn't in Austin when they had to leave Houston. He stayed back in Houston just to help his family. So it is really messy situation right now. Or it could be like one of those feel-good Disney movie stories where they come together. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Allen's from Arizona, so he's going back home. He's going to feel very comfortable back home. So it's going to be interesting. It just, like, honestly, Major Applewhite, after listening to the interviews and the press conference, after listening to him, I just kind of, as bad as this is, I kind of, like, lost a little bit of confidence in my team.
That's not good.
Just listening to how, like, he was like, we've lost some talent. We have a lot of unexperienced people on the field. We're dealing with the floods. I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? So.
All right. Well, that wraps it up.
That's it. That's it. That's week two. Those are our picks. You know, follow the blog, follow the Instagram, follow the Twitter, follow the everything we got, and you can know how it's going. I even post updates in the middle of the weekend, like on a Friday, just to say what's been going on. So, yeah, keep up with us.
Awesome. That's all I got.
All right, that's all I got. Peace. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you yesterday. Forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Hold it, now I want to hoodwink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet Swiss. I like the sushi, cause it's never touch a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Big like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bert Kampfer's got the mad hits. You try to match wits, you try to hold me but I bust through. Can I make a break and take a pick? I like a stinking ache and shake. I like vanilla, it's the finest of the flavors. Gotta see the show, cause then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go. Cause it's so dangerous, you'll have to sign a waiver. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, well you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Threw your arms in the air and said you're crazy.